God's people said, amen. What a great time of worship today in the presence of the Lord. And boy, I can feel His power and His hand resting among us today. Let me invite you back this evening. Before we get into the message, let me extend to you an invitation to come back tonight for some fun, food, fellowship, and feuding. And so we're going to be playing Family Feud tonight. Johnny Flanagan, our resident griller, is going to be grilling hamburgers and hot dogs. And then afterwards, we'll be playing some Family Feud. And I promise you, this will be family-friendly and kid-friendly as well. Basically, it's played similar to the Family Feud in that you have 100 people that are asked a question. And so the host will say, based on 100 people's answer, what would the top answer be to tell me something you only do once a week? And your family, your team has to decide if it's going to church, if it's buying groceries, what it is. And so it'll be a lot of fun. We'll have a title on the line tonight. Your family wins, you get the title. If there's only a couple of you, you'll combine with other families. And so we'll have teams of probably 6, 7, or 8 somewhere in there. And it'll be a lot of laughter. It'll be great entertainment. It'll be a free meal. And we'll just have a lot of fun for the whole family. And so you come back tonight. I know probably many of you, your routine is to chill at home and watch some TV. And you can do that any night this week. You come and enjoy your church family tonight. And we'll have a blast. We're in a series, have been since the first Sunday of this year, talking about the church, different components of the church. We've talked about the function of the church, the foundation of the church, the fellowship of the church, the unity of the church, the witness of the church. And today I want us to finish this series by talking about the kindness of the church. The kindness of the church. Gerald Harris, one of my favorite preachers, tells a story about a time that he was on vacation in Boston and decided on that Sunday morning that he was going to go to a church, and it was a real formal, very stuffy kind of church. And he said the pastor got up during the sermon and said to this congregation, said, you know, I was on vacation last week. And he said, I visited a church, and he said, I was so impressed by their friendliness. He said, one of the things I appreciated so much about the church was that they had a time where they shook hands and hugged each other and fellowshiped together. And he said, I was so inspired. He said that I just want to tell you, we need that in our church. And so he said, starting next week, we're going to speak to one another. We're going to shake hands. We're going to express kindness to one another. And he said, next Sunday, we're going to begin this custom in our service. And at the close of the service, they said amen, and Gerald Harris stood up, and he turned around to the lady behind him, and he said, good morning. And she said, I beg your pardon? This friendly business doesn't start till next Sunday. The kindness of the church. How many of you know this world that we live in is not a very kind place? Several weeks ago, I was meeting one of our church members for lunch, and we wanted to meet at Fincher's on Houston Road, and so I was a few minutes early, and so I went into the store that's on the corner of Houston Road and Hartley Bridge, and came out and was going to turn left onto Houston Road, and you know, because the turning out of that store to the driveway of Fincher's is only maybe 15 yards, and so rather than get all over three lanes of traffic, I decided just to stay in the oncoming traffic lane because it's just a few feet before I turn again. And so I'm looking to make sure there's no traffic coming towards me. And so I turn into Fincher's, and about that time I notice that there's a work truck, like maybe a plumber or something that does somebody that does something industrial, big truck with a ladder rack, was about to turn into Fincher's, and I cut right in front of him. Thought, that's not good. Lord, please don't let them eat at Fincher's. Please let them be going to the grocery store or that Mexican restaurant. So I go into the restaurant, and the folks I'm meeting are not there yet, and by myself, and listening to a phone message that I didn't answer when I was in my truck. And so I'm listening to this message, and these three guys walk in. The first guy's a big guy, and two guys behind him, and he walked in, he looked at me sitting over in that booth and said, you cut me off so you could get in here and talk on your phone? He said, you're a, I can't say what he said, but there's a word in the Bible that is used to describe donkeys, and that's the word that he called me. So I thought, well, I done stepped into it now. Not, I'm a black belt. I've got these lethal weapons here, but I didn't want to have to get any. I didn't want to hurt him. I didn't want to hurt them. So I was thinking about it, and they sat down, and so I thought, you know, I'll walk over and apologize. And so I walked over to the table, and I said, man, I said, I was turning out of that store, and I said, rather than get all the way over in those other lanes, I said, I was looking for oncoming traffic, and I said, I didn't see you turn until I turned right in front of you, and I said, I apologize for doing that. And he said, well, I don't accept it. I said, okay. That leaves us at an impasse here. Have a nice meal. And there's this growing epidemic of harshness and rudeness. I remember when I was a kid and George Bush Sr. was elected president, and I still remember listening to his inauguration, and he appealed to this nation to be a kinder, gentler nation. And boy, if there was ever a time in this nation's history, given the political climate that we live in, this needs to be a kinder, gentler nation. You know, on average, for every one word of encouragement that we hear three words of discouragement. For every one word of encouragement, we hear three words of discouragement, because there's this atmosphere of harshness and rudeness. If there was ever a time in this nation's history that this nation needed a church to be kind and loving and encouraging, now's the time. Every one of us can relate to kindness, and every one of us can respond with kindness. We're commanded by the Bible to treat, to act, and to react with kindness. It pains me when I say this, but I believe that Christians can be some of the worst offenders of unkindness. I was talking to a lady who's a server in a restaurant, and I said, I guess you probably work a lot of Sundays. I was going to invite her to church, and she said, I do. She said, I despise working Sundays. And I thought, well, she probably doesn't want to miss her church. And I said, why is that? She said, because that church crowd that comes in here, she said, they expect the most and tip the least. Boy, what a great reputation we have. We Christians have a great responsibility and a great calling to treat others with kindness. I heard it put this way, that we need to be winsome in hopes that we might win some. We ought to be kind. And so last week I talked about the witness of the church and talked about how we need to find people who do not know God and point them towards Jesus with kindness and graciousness and sensitivity. So please understand the importance of this next statement. Your kindness or lack of can make or break your witness. Your kindness can make your witness. Your unkindness can break your witness. I think a lot of the problem is we've been trained and taught that nice guys finish where? Last. And so the more you go around barking at people, ordering people around, being rude, that's what's going to get you ahead. That's what's going to move you to the top. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, as God's chosen people, clothe yourself with kindness and gentleness and humility and compassion and with peace. That's as God's children, we're called to put on the clothes. It's like you put on your work clothes and you wear those clothes to work. Every morning before you get up and start your day, you're to put on kindness and compassion and gentleness and sensitivity and peace. If you brought your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to begin reading in verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 29. If you're there, say amen. Paul says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And so he says, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. And so what exactly is kindness? What does it mean? Kindness, really, it means to respond to others in a good, in a helpful way, in a suitable way. It means to be gracious to others. Kindness is treating others the way that God has treated you. And so according to these verses that we've read, there are really a couple of ways, there are many others, but there are a couple of ways that I want to focus on this morning of how we can show kindness. And the first way is this: we can show kindness through our words. We can show kindness to others through our words. See, all of Christians, all followers of Jesus, we all have a built-in kindness kit. It's called our speech. You ever heard the expression, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me? There's a Greek word to describe that saying, baloney. Words do hurt. Words crush our spirit. Words hurt and scar us. I remember things that were told to me as a child, hurtful words that I still remember even to this day. Well, hurtful words can stick with us for years and years. I heard about a husband and wife. They had just moved into a new home, a big, lavish home, and the husband was doing well financially, and so he paid for this home with his own money. And so it was the first day in the house, and he was giving his wife the grand tour, and they'd walk into a room, and he'd say, "Honey, I want you to know I bought this house with my money." Well, she just sat there so silent and submissive. Several hours later, this furniture truck shows up with this furniture that they had picked out, living room, bedroom furniture. They take it in, put it in place, and so he's showing the wife the bedroom suit and the living room suit, and he said, "I want you to know, I bought this house with my money. You would not have this house without my money. You would not be here if it weren't for my money." Later that afternoon, this elaborate entertainment center shows up. This is the feature of the living room. And so they go back around the house, see the furniture, see this entertainment center. And he told her yet again, "If it were not for my money, this entertainment center would not be here. If it were not for my money, this furniture would not be here. If it were not for my money, we would not be here in this house." She said, "Honey, if it were not for your money, I would not be here." Harshness, rudeness, react with kindness. There are many Christians, I've met so many Christians over the years, and some Christians just have a hard edge to their spirit. They say, "I pride myself on being plain spoken. I'm a straight shooter. I'm just brutally honest." You ever notice the people that claim to be brutally honest place the emphasis on the brutality and not so much the honesty? It's just hard being around somebody that's always brutal, especially when they pride themselves. I heard about a husband and wife. She was talking to her husband, and she had a large bag of clothes, and she said, I'm going to take these clothes to Goodwill." And he said, "Why don't you just throw those clothes in the trash? It'd be so much easier than hauling them down to Goodwill." She said, "But there are poor people who are starving who could have these clothes." He said, "Honey, if they're starving, they're not going to wear your clothes." Now listen, okay, it's a joke. It's a joke. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's a joke. It wasn't real. It didn't really happen. It's okay. Just calm down. The Bible instructs us to just use words that are helpful words that build others up and not tear them down. Someone wisely said the real art of conversation is not saying the wrong thing but leaving the wrong thing unsaid. You don't always have to say the right thing, but there are times where you just leave the wrong thing unsaid. Because words have the power to heal, they have the power to wound, but they have the power to encourage and build up. Mark Twain said this: "The difference between the right word and the almost right word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug." We've got to use the right word. The Bible says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit them."
Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold." A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold. You think about those things that people have said to you, things that people have told you that really lifted you up, that really boosted you up, that really encouraged you, and you take those things and you say them to others. Look for opportunities to invest in others, to encourage others. It may be speaking a word of affirmation. It may be texting a scripture. It may be praying for someone who's facing some kind of difficulty. It may be providing a listening ear for someone that just needs to talk. And so what we say to people and how we say it determines the quality of our relationships. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20 says, "From the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips." Let me paraphrase what that verse is saying. The quality of your life will largely be determined by the words that come out of your mouth. We're to encourage others through our words. We're to show kindness through our words. But I want you to see, secondly, we're to show kindness through our actions. We're to show kindness through our actions. One thing is for certain. If you look in your Bibles and you read about the life of Jesus, you will find that Jesus is universally the kindest man to ever live. You'll never find an instance in which Jesus was unkind to anyone unless they were being hypocritical. You'll never find an instance in which Jesus did not have time for someone. You'll never find a time in which Jesus turned anyone away. Jesus always had time for a kind word. Jesus always had time for a kind deed. If you think about it, Jesus spent much of his time being kind to people who did not deserve his kindness. You think about the woman at the well. Oh, the woman, listen, she was a hot mess. I mean, she was tough. She was tougher than a woodpecker's beak. I mean, listen, she was bad. She'd been married 5 times. She was abrasive. She was harsh. She was rude. But Jesus was kind to her. You think about the woman who was caught in adultery. In that instance, most of the time in that culture, they would have stoned her. But Jesus took the time not to rebuke her, not to condemn her, not to lecture her. But Jesus told her, "Go and sin no more." You think about little Zacchaeus, that little tax collector. Now listen, if I get to heaven and I'm the same height as Zacchaeus, I'm going to be ticked. All right, I'm just letting you know. I'm picturing Zacchaeus, I'm towering over Zacchaeus, but if I get there and we're the same, I'm not going to be happy about it. But little Zacchaeus, he was crooked as the day is long, but Jesus took the time to share the gospel with him, and his life was changed. He went from being a crook to being generous. I was looking at different actions of Jesus, different acts of kindness. This blew me away when I thought about it. In that moment in the life of Jesus, when he was being crucified, when he suffered as no man has ever suffered in human history, the agony of bearing the weight of every person's sin, past, present, and future, it was in that moment that he was experiencing physical and mental, spiritual torment. In that moment, Jesus was still kind to the man who was next to him. Amen? Hey, I'll amen myself this morning. I don't care. He was kind to the man who was next to him. He was kind to people who did not deserve his kindness. He was kind to people who were ungrateful, people who were unappreciative of his kindness. He was even kind to his enemies. Verse 31 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, all rage, all anger, all brawling, all slander, along with every form of malice." He says, get rid of it all. That word "all" in the Greek is where we get our English word "all." Hey, drink me in. I'm a fountain of wisdom this morning. Y'all hang in there with me. You probably never heard his name, but he was a PGA golfer. I'm not even sure if he's still alive, but this would have been some years ago. His name was Robert DeVincenzo. I don't know why any of these preaching illustrations, nobody ever has a normal name, but he was actually played on the tour and played in a tournament and won the tournament. And it was a great thing because he needed the notoriety, he needed the money. He collected his check and he was walking through the parking lot. And a lady walked up to him, and she was discouraged, and she was overcome with sadness. And she said, Robert, she said, it's been a great day for you. She said, but it's a hard day for me. He said, what's going on? She said, I have a baby that's dying. I have a baby that's been diagnosed with an incurable disease, and my baby's not going to be around much longer. And that professional golfer said, may I do something for you and your child? He took that check that he won, pulled it out of his pocket, endorsed it, and said, go buy yourself some happiness for you and your child. She was stunned. The people that were standing around him were stunned. He put his clubs in the back of his car. He got on down the road. The next week, he showed up at the next tournament. A PGA director walked up to him and said, Robert, you helped a lady last week. You gave her your winning check. He said, I need you to know, she doesn't have a sick baby. He said, she doesn't even have a baby at all. She conned you. She's a phony. And he said, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that there's no baby dying of cancer? And he said, that's right. He said, that's the best news I've heard all week. You may have somebody that takes advantage of you. Aren't you grateful that God keeps the score? You don't have to. You don't have to seek revenge. You don't have to be cynical. You don't have to be ungrateful for what somebody has done to you in the past. God keeps the score. God knows if somebody takes advantage of you because you've been like Jesus, then let them do it because they took advantage of Jesus too. And so just let God keep the score. The Lord Jesus was incredibly kind to people who did not deserve and desire His kindness. We've got to be kind to people, even if they call us bad names at Finchers. We've still got to react with kindness. It's one thing to be kind to a friend. It's hard to be kind to an enemy. And I want to just tell you this. If you want to live a happy life, then be kind to as many people as you can. There are some times that kindness is heard in a loving word. Sometimes kindness is felt in a touch. Sometimes kindness is read in a note. I guess about a month ago, I was telling the crowd that gathers on Wednesday night, I got a letter in the mail from one of our children that comes to church here, and oftentimes during pastor appreciation and other times, we'll get notes of encouragement, our staff will, from the children in Sunday school or in children's church. The leaders will lead them to do this, but I got this envelope, and I opened it, and I read this letter. It says, Dear Pastor Chris, thank you for being an amazing pastor. You help us to learn about God. I thought I would share with you my favorite verse, John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, so that whoever believes in Him will not die, but have eternal life. She said, I'm praying for you daily. Love, Kaylee. What, Kaylee, 8 or 9 years old? I want to tell you, that blessed, that so richly and abundantly blessed my heart and was so incredibly encouraging that she took the time to share with me a kind word. That's all we've got to do, folks. It made all the difference in my life. That's the reality of what kindness is. It's reaching out and showing people the love of God that we have experienced. And we need to do that as often as we can. It's amazing how we can do this in the simplest of ways. We need more kindness in our homes. Husbands, can I just tell you, if you'll be kind to your wife, if you'll extend to her a listening ear when she gets home from work and let her tell you about her day and what's going on with her life, that'll be an act of kindness. Wives, if you'll do things like cook your husband a full breakfast, cut the grass, change the oil in the car, give him a massage, iron his clothes, that'll be an act of kindness for your husband. Parents, it's so easy to get frustrated. If you've got a stressful job, if you've got a stressful marriage, it's so easy to get frustrated and discouraged that your kids become an outlet of that frustration, that your kids become a target of that discouragement. And they don't get dressed fast enough.
They change their mind at least 20 times about what they want for breakfast. They don't get up when you call them to get out of bed. They don't always do everything that you tell them to do. Sometimes it's not easy to be kind, but there's never an excuse to belittle or unkind to your children. I wonder if I asked your children today, is your mom and dad kind? I wonder what they would say. If I asked the people that you work with, if you're kind at work, I wonder what they would say. See, the truth of the matter is, we can all use a word of encouragement. And so you go out this week and you find people who need to be encouraged, who need to receive an act of kindness, and you find something to praise them for. You find something to be positive with them about, to speak to them and be affirming to them and share a blessing with them. We're so quickly to tear people down in this culture, look for ways to build them up. People are dying for someone to put your hand on their shoulder and say, I believe in you. Man, you're doing a great job. You're awesome. I praise the Lord for you. I'm so proud of you. Your kindness is never a waste of time or effort. And we're way beyond the fact of being able to say, I'm just going to try to do better. No, you got to wake up each day and say, God, you help me to be kind today. Even to my enemies, even people that don't deserve it, even people that are ungrateful, you help me share words of kindness and actions of kindness today. We live in a hurting, angry world that's covered up with so much darkness. And as God's children, we're called to be light, we're called to be kind, we're called to be loving and sensitive. It's God's command, get rid of all bitterness and be kind and compassionate to one another. Let me pray for us. Maybe you're here today and you've never received the Lord Jesus into your heart. And if you were to be honest today, you are unkind. You are rude. You're harsh. You fashion yourself to be a straight shooter and brutally honest. And the people that work with you have a hard time working with you. And the problem may be that you've never received Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. See, once Jesus comes into a heart, He frees us of all bitterness. And if you deal with so much harshness and rudeness, call on Jesus today. Let Him come into your heart. Let Him be your Lord and your Savior. And you can be born again, and He'll free your spirit of all that darkness, all that rudeness. He'll make you a brand new creation. If you're looking for a church to join and you're looking for a good church, look no further. You have found one today. You come, and if God's leading you to come and join today, you do that. Maybe you just need to come kneel at the altar and need someone to pray with you. I'll be standing down front. Pastor Rick will be standing down front. We'd love for you to come today. It's an honor to preach and teach, but boy, I'd much rather pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd stir our hearts today. For Christ's sake, I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? I'll be standing down front. If there's a need, you come.